word of God speak. Pour down like rain, washing our eyes to see. Your majesty, help us to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let us stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God to speak. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There is a saying I imagine that you have heard before. Hurting people hurt people. People who are hurting oftentimes begin to believe that it is their responsibility to hurt other people because they at some point were hurt. I think about people who remain in abusive relationships. At some point, some of them begin to normalize their experience, forgetting what it was like before the abuse began. And over time, those around them begin to normalize their situation as well, thinking, well, maybe it's not so bad as it looks. Or surely, if it really is bad, they would remove themselves from their circumstances. I imagine it took years for the idea of enslaving Africans in America to become accepted. Someone with power, authority, and money decided that if they believed it and they said it, it must be right. It must be true. They needed to exert power over those different from them. They had to show, or at least appear, to have everything in control. Over time, they came to believe, they normalized the abusive practices carried out on the lives and bodies of other human beings. They even used scripture to justify their cruel and inhumane treatment of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Many people followed this example because they believed they would never be treated the way the enslaved were treated. Many people followed because they believed it was right to treat people who are perceived as different harshly, convinced that one's skin tone or hair texture determines the level of humanness, the level of humaneness deserved. Being different was justification for being feared. Being afraid was justification for hatred. And this hatred justified punishment, humiliation, and dehumanization of an entire race of people, taking from their homeland by force. Jesus asked Saul, "Why do you persecute me?" Saul never answered that question. I wonder if in that moment Saul wondered the same thing. Why am I exacting threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord? What is so different about them that I should hate them enough to want to punish and kill them? It seems Saul was blinded by years of this persecution being normalized. The high priest had determined that this persecution was a just and righteous cause. And if the high priest believed this, it must be so. If the enslavers believe people of African descent are less than human, it must be so. What power must have been exerted over each of these groups of people to create such fear and hatred, some of which continues even to this day? At what point did the people's hurt turn to hatred? I don't know the answer, but I do often grieve for people who find their value and power in controlling and hurting others. What a horrible burden to have to carry. Hurting people hurt people. This is a sad truth. But today we are reminded that changed people change people. Saul had probably been conditioned by his community to hate those who belonged to the way. There was no answer that he could provide to Jesus as to why he behaved the way he did. But Jesus didn't ask that question with the expectation of an answer. Jesus asked that question so that Saul could see beyond what he had been conditioned to see, to accept. Jesus could easily have condemned Saul, but that is not what Jesus came into the world to do. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came that the world could see the way to salvation, so that the world could recognize what the angels in Revelation know to be true. That the one who had been wounded, humiliated, slaughtered on the cross is the Lamb of God. The only one worthy to stand at the right hand of God. That's why they cry with a full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Others may believe that they are worthy, they are deserving, but what costs have they paid to make them worthy? What have they unjustly endured to make them worthy? What grace have they shown to make them worthy? What love have they demonstrated to make them worthy? What power have they laid down for the sake of others to make them worthy? Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I had a dear friend who used to say, "I can show you better than I can tell you." Jesus came to show us the way, to establish the community that belongs to the way. He came to open our eyes to new life in him. Saul didn't have to answer his question. Saul couldn't answer his question. In that moment, Saul became powerless as he was knocked to the ground and blinded. He spent the next 3 days in silence and darkness. Saul fasted and prayed. Something had to change. Through the power of God, Saul was changed. And with his sight restored, he began to move in a new direction. And his change went on to change the world. No longer following those wielding their power, now he is following the one with all power in heaven and the earth, the one who makes all things new. Our colleague today prays that God open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work. And our lessons today point us to eye-opening experiences. In Acts, we see Saul's eyes opened as the scales fall from his eyes. Immediately after his resurrection, Jesus opened the eyes of many, making himself known to Mary Magdalene and his disciples in various ways. He calls Mary by name in the Garden of Gethsemane so that she can recognize him. He folds a napkin and places it neatly to the side in the tomb, perhaps to assure the other disciple, probably John, that his body has not been stolen. The hearts of the two men on the road to Emmaus burned, and their eyes were opened at the table as he took bread, broke it, and gave it to them, and then vanished from their sight. And today our gospel story takes us to the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, where the eyes of Peter are opened as his role and place in the spread of the kingdom of God are made known to him. Peter and Paul are both changed by their encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and their change indeed has changed others. But the most powerful change we find in Christ, when he left eternity and stepped into mortality, he was changed. And when he rose from the dead on that third day, he was changed from mortality to immortality as he returned to eternity, showing us the way to eternal life. As our eyes are opened and we recognize the risen Christ, the one with all power in his hands, the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thanks be to God, with his stripes, we are healed. We are changed. Anybody here been changed? Anybody's eyes been opened? Anybody who's hurting has been replaced with healing? I'm so glad he showed me that I don't have to allow others' need to hate and to hurt me, paralyze me, change my fear to joy. Walter Hawkins wrote a song entitled Change, Changed. It talks about a life changed, made complete by Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you can find comfort in knowing that Bob Davenport has been changed, made complete, as he has been changed from life to life everlasting. I pray that we are all walking a path changed by Christ, no longer hurting or hurting others, no longer full of fear and hate, but instead peace and joy. What a wonderful place to be. May we continue to live a life changed by Christ. It is my prayer that a wonderful change has come over you, and that you can join me in singing, a wonderful change has come over me, a wonderful change has come over me, a wonderful change has come over me.
Amen.